That is the music of the professor, Dr. Debbie Strowman, who joins me on the phone now to talk about everything that's been going on in sports. Deb, happy 2021. Boy, it has been quite the start to the year this week, hasn't it been?
Absolutely. And to think that so many people in the country were saying that they can't wait to 2021. Well, can it start with any possible degree of more upheaval, more distraction, and more pain and harm than what we had at the Capitol? So I am definitely one who is trying to be more reflective of this and not just take it on the surface, but to look at those themes and things that are happening, certainly tying them to sports as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, to get to sports in a second, I mean, what we saw on Wednesday, the images were just so shocking and visually striking. But I think for many people, it wasn't all that surprising. So how did you feel as you were seeing events unfold?
Well, certainly not surprising for me as one who teaches our racial equity curriculum to our graduate students in the Gilling School of Global Public Health and my own lived experiences as a Black woman in this country. It is definitely not surprising. In fact, I can even predict what's going to happen throughout the rest of the year. But to have the images, and I had a chance to see the wonderful photography from the National Geographic that portrayed, that illuminated the overwhelmingly white mob that supports President Trump's attempts to overturn the election by brute force. And seeing the Confederate flags, and then hearing today that actually a noose was found as well. But it was definitely not surprising, but still it's startling. Knowing that indeed that this level of hatred exists in this country, but to see it elevated on a national platform where they felt very confidently that they could go to arguably what is supposed to be the most protected building in our country next to the Pentagon, you know, the White House, the Capitol building, to think that they could just walk up and know that if there was anyone who was going to try to stop them, that they had the numbers and whatever items they had in their cars or in their pockets or whatever that they could fight back and possibly win. That is very, very scary.
And, you know, you wrote a very great column for us. It was your Never Too Far column that had a new edition, kind of welcoming in 2021 before all of this stuff happened earlier this week, that had a really good message in terms of the racial justice movement that we've seen really get a lot of wind to make some progress over this past summer. You were talking with local Black scholars and just community members and getting their opinion on, you know, where can the movement go forward? What can we continue to do to get this momentum going in 2021? And what's, I mean, just a stark difference between how those protests were treated this summer compared to this demonstration that turned violent so quickly and how seemingly unprepared our nation's forces were for this on Wednesday. It's just such a stark difference, and I'm curious to how it makes you feel.
Well, thank you for noting the article, but indeed, this, again, it's not new. When we think about the history of our country and the beginnings and how white men were advantaged through the design and purpose of our systems and institutions, and we have yet to have a national forgiveness, an apology, because certainly we've had white people from the beginning of time who were protesting against the peculiar institution of slavery. We've had white people, whether you go back to the 19th century, 20th century, and here we are today, people who said that this is wrong and that we are all created equal. And let us try to live up to the words in our Constitution. And so we've had this, but yet time after time after time, we continue to see those who do not want this, who do not want us to come together as one human family. And they gain power. And what happened with Donald Trump and his leadership, we shouldn't be surprised. He told us what he was going to do, whether it was his personal life, whether it was professional life. What's that quote that success leaves clues? Well, his operation. It left clues, personally and professionally. He told us who he was. And then think about all the Republican challengers in the primary when he was running, from Cruz. I mean, all of them, they all, you know, we see the commercials now saying that they knew who he was. And so here it is. And I guess what I'm saying is, when are we going to wake it up? Wake up. Why does it take so long for us to get it, that evil exists? Evil is amongst us, and we have to protect one another. And when this rises up, whether it's against Jewish people, whether it's against Muslims, whether it's against white women, whether it's against blacks, whether it's against white men, when are we going to stand together and say, no, we will not take this?
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, and I know that the NBA and its players had a lot of people sharing those same feelings. They, at the moment, are really the only sport besides college basketball that has seen action since the insurrection that we saw on Wednesday. And we saw a couple demonstrations, and we saw quite a few players speak out, and NBA players were probably the most recognizable and kind of forward people, certainly over the summer and then in the bubble that they did during their end of the season, in terms of being for the racial justice movement, really speaking out, and to see people demonstrating after this too was interesting. We know that the Bucks and Pistons took a knee at tip off, and then the Cavaliers and Grizzlies, I think the following night, locked arms and took a knee on the sideline after tip off. I'm curious to your thoughts on that from the NBA and any other responses that we've seen from around the sports world based on the events that we saw on Wednesday.
Well, certainly it's the usual suspects, as in those who have used their platform boldly to fight for liberation of brown and black people, for those who are fighting for racial justice, for those who are fighting for equality and equity. So it doesn't surprise me that the NBA, whether it's a front office executive or the players and coaches, that they will use their microphone. And what's challenging, once again, is the NFL, NHL, and the most egregious is Major League Baseball. They just continue to either create an atmosphere, an environment, a labor condition of fear, or they are silent because they agree with what's going on. They agree with the insurrection. There's one thing about this now, and I use the analogy of we're all in the game now. It's very, very hard to hide. You can't be on the sideline. Everybody's in the game. Not everyone is the quarterback or the star, you know, middle linebacker, but everybody's in this game now. Are you for, you know, the 81 million that voted for change and healing, or are you on the 74 million that voted for Donald Trump? And I know there's a spectrum in terms of how people felt about Donald Trump and why they voted for him. But it's pretty clear to a lot of activists, organizers, whether you're institutional or community, that this is not a joke anymore. And if you are not for lifting up everyone, as in, you know, cliche, you know, the whole rainbow, then you're on the other side. And we're going to work to, you know, remove your voice, because you hurt us. You kill us. You know, very hurtful to hear about the Capitol police officer. You know, it's one thing to be knocked down and, you know, you have a heart attack, which is very tragic. It's terrible. But it's another thing to hear that he got beat by a fire extinguisher. I mean, that's how violent these people were. And we have to step up. And I'm hopeful that, you know, the athletes will continue to express themselves. Doc Rivers being one of the most prominent head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, who compared the way the mob was treated versus the peaceful protesters with Black Lives Matter and other movements in our country. It's very, very clear that white supremacy wants to rule. White supremacy wants to go back to the days where brown and black people are behind. They're held back. You might not have the shackles, but this is very clear. And they're going to fight for the country they believe that is theirs. And they are oh so wrong.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman. So we've got some big NFL playoff games coming up this next weekend, and it will be the other sport that is in action besides basketball. Do you foresee any NFL players doing any sort of demonstration here? NFL was a little bit late to the game because their games didn't begin until the fall, when some of the more front forward movements and marches for the Black Lives Matter movement had kind of died down. And, you know, we saw some people do some, you know, stances of unity and locking arms and stuff like that before games, but that is certainly petered off now. Do you expect to see, with this happening, maybe anybody demonstrate this upcoming weekend?
Well, the one thing about these next 12 days is that they are anything's game. And so if indeed we have the House starting the impeachment proceedings on Monday, that's going to trigger something. What is President Trump's response going to be to that? What are the crazies? What are they planning? You know, one report I heard is, I watched right on TV, the guy was being interviewed, and he said, you know, for the inauguration, we're hopefully going to have 1 million people show up with guns, armed to stop the inauguration. And so there is no doubt that athletes, coaches, and managers and executives are going to be prepared. And I'm very hopeful that, again, we will show some form of unity, whether that's taking a knee, whether that's a statement, whether it's someone using the microphone and their platform to speak out against this. We need voices to speak up. You know, silence is violence. That is how it operates. And we have to have more people being, as I call it, kindly bold, to show that you are not on the side of white supremacists.
Dr. Deb Stroman, thanks so much for joining me. Hopefully, as the year continues, we'll have more interesting sports stories along these lines, hopefully in a more positive and encouraging moment. But thanks so much for taking the time and joining me for the first time on News on the Hill.
Well, thank you, Brighton. And I'm hopeful that once again, we can use all of this as a learning opportunity to learn, to go deeper in your analysis of race and racism, to understand, you know, what has happened in history to bring us to this point. So, again, I always remain hopeful, but it is definitely time to take a stand.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Deb. We'll speak with you next week.
Thank you.